Good morning, sir. I'm Mr. Johnson. I've been looking over your appointment application. Everything seems to be in order here. I see you. Mr. Greaseball.
Greaseball.
Yeah. We were looking for a nuclear scientist, Mr. Greaseball. I don't see anything here that would qualify you for this job.
Well, I am an expert in the Boxcar 7-Eleven old-time radio pod.
Well, Boxcar 7-Eleven, it's my favorite show. Did you hear the last episode of Gunsmoke, Mr. Greaseball?
Greaseball. I never miss an episode.
Well, that about wraps it up. You've got the job. And welcome, Mr. Greaseball. We're proud to have you as part of our family.
There you go again. The Boxcar 7-Eleven old-time radio pod is not just great entertainment. Let's just call it life-changing, mind-stimulating, energy-producing scientific education. The Boxcar 7-Eleven old-time radio pod, where the oldies are still young.
Oh, good God, help him.
The makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee, that superb blend of the world's choice coffees, which is so reasonably priced, present Runa Castagna, Dorothy L'Amour, W.C. Fields, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Robert Armbruster, and Don Amici. This is the Chase and Sanborn Hour.
This is the Chase and Sanborn Hour, and this is Don Amici greeting you for Bruna Castagna, sensational new star of the Metropolitan Opera Company, who in one season has climbed to the very top of the operatic ladder.
Oh, isn't that too bad?
Isn't what too bad, Charlie?
Imagine a girl with a voice like hers singing from the top of the ladder. Oh, my.
Yes, Charlie, my. And greetings, too, from Dorothy L'Amour.
Ah, Juliet L'Amour. I would I could climb the ladder to her balcony.
Yes, Romeo McCarthy. And a hearty welcome from W.C. Fields.
That's the bottom rung. Boo.
And Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Ah, the top.
And to top it off, a musical greeting from Robert Armbruster and the Chase and Sanborn Orchestra, playing the hit tune from Mountain Music, Good Morning.
How do you do?
Nice greeting. And now I think we'd better prepare a warm birthday greeting for our obstreperous little pal, Charlie McCarthy. As I remember, Charlie was planning a surprise birthday party on himself today. Hey, Edgar, how about that party at Charlie's?
Oh, yes, how that is.
Well, Don, I'm afraid about Charlie's party. I'm afraid it isn't going to come off at all. Is that right, Charlie?
No, it isn't, Don.
Oh.
It's all off.
Well, why did you call it off, Charlie?
Well, I'll tell you, Mr. Amici. There's been a lot of nasty talk going around. Something about me inviting people to my birthday party just so I'd get a lot of presents.
Well, you can't afford to have that kind of talk, Charlie.
No, I'm not going to have anybody think that I'm small.
No.
No, sir. So I'm not going to give a dinner party, that's all.
Oh, you're not going to give it?
No, just let them bring the presents.
I see.
Anyway, I haven't time for any of that small talk stuff. I'm busy with my correspondence course.
Oh, so that's it?
Yes.
And what course is that?
How to be a detective.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
So now it's Sherlock McCarthy.
That's the idea.
And that's the reason for the Sherlock Holmes hat, is it?
Yeah.
I see.
That's my two-way hat.
Yes.
I don't know whether I'm coming or going in.
No. Well, what are you, Charlie?
I'm a sort of a secret surface.
What?
I don't know what I am.
Oh, you're a secret service man.
Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah.
Yes. And what case are you working on?
That's a secret.
Oh, that's a secret.
Well, I'm more of a lookout man.
Oh, that's it?
Yes.
And what are you looking out for?
I'm looking out for myself. Who are you looking out for?
All right. Did you hear that? What's that?
I think I heard a fingerprint.
Oh, no. Well, you certainly are on the job.
Yes.
Yes. How about the dogs?
Oh, I got them, too.
I thought so. And they're bloodhounds?
I don't think they are.
No?
I cut my finger the other day and one of the dogs fainted. The big one.
Oh, you have two dogs.
Yes.
I see. Well, why two?
Well, I got a big one and a little one.
I see.
If there's a burglar in the house, the little one wakes the big one up.
I see.
The big one does the rough stuff.
I see.
He's a bouncer. The little one is a springer.
Oh. Oh, that's awful.
Oh, please don't hate me for saying it.
No. What an outfit.
Yeah, me and my dogs.
Yeah.
Take a slant at this book, Bergen.
What's that?
There are pictures here and descriptions of 20 wanted criminals.
Oh, my.
If I catch them, I get a reward.
You mean here?
Yeah.
My. How much do you get, Charlie?
Well, if I catch any three, I get my dollar back that I paid for the book.
Well, that's fine. Now, all you have to do is go out and get them.
That's all I got to do. Now, look here, page 3. That's Babyface Willie.
Mm-hmm.
He picks up things that don't belong to him.
Oh, I see. A kleptomaniac.
Yes, he goes, yeah, that's what he is, yeah. Are you taking the course?
No.
Oh, I see. Yes, he's that's what he is.
Yes.
He's one of those kleptoalmanacs. No, kleptomaniac. No. No? No. Oh, by golly, I'm warm.
Yes, I know.
He's a horse thief.
Oh, that's... Well, a kleptomaniac is not a horse thief.
Well, then it's a horse on me. I don't care.
Say, this is an interesting face. Page 6.
Yeah.
Singing Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess you can see who that is, can't you?
What do you mean?
Don't be silly. Look at it. Those eyes there.
I don't know, Charlie.
Don't you get it?
No.
That's Don Amici.
Don Amici.
That's Don Amici, or I'm wrong.
Yes.
And I usually am.
Be careful, Charlie. Now, if you offend Don, I'll walk right out on you.
Oh, so I won't talk, huh?
Yeah, that's...
I see. When I'm after a man, I gotta get him.
Yeah.
Watch me tritten up.
All right.
Kindness first, oil, you know.
Yes.
Oh, Mr. Amici, I'd like to talk to you. See?
Well, yes, of course. What is it, Charlie?
Watch him walk into the net.
Yes, yes.
I'm crafty.
Yes.
What's your name, Don Amici?
Oh, no.
Come clean now. Did you do it?
Do what?
Never mind. I'm asking the questions. Oh. Where were you on the night of June 15th? You lie.
All right. We do. Oh, boy.
I'm pretty sharp, huh?
Yes.
I got him scared.
Oh, sure. I have nothing to say.
Put that down, Bergen.
He didn't say anything.
I'll do the talking around here.
All right.
Hey, look, if you think I'm going to stand around here and listen to this nonsense, you're crazy.
Uh-huh. Now, don't you move, stranger. I got you covered. All right. Elias Amici, Singing Joe.
See, I don't follow all this.
Oh.
Well, it's simple, Don. You see, Charlie has become a detective.
Yes. That's what it is. We got your number, buddy. It's concerning that robbery in Allentown.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Well, suppose I did it, so what?
Yeah, now we're getting somewhere.
Yes.
Read a description, Bergen. Watch him sweat.
It's all right, Orb. It says here, Singing Joe always carries two guns and a knife. He's a killer. Don't try to capture him alone.
Does it say that?
Yes.
Hello, Don. You know, that description doesn't fit him at all.
It doesn't.
No.
Oh, you're back in water, huh? Why don't you run me in?
That's what I'm going to do, partner. What are you reaching for? What you got in your pocket, a gun?
Yeah. I always carry a gun, don't you?
Oh, but I've been killing so many people lately. Partner, you got me.
I'm going to count five, and if you aren't gone by that time, I'll let you have it.
Yeah, well, just count one.
If there happens to be a real Singing Joe, I hope he understands that I was only fooling. And I hope that both he and Charlie decide to reform. But for a real clue, a clue to refreshment, this coming week offers 21 good reasons for acting on the information Carlton Cadell is ready to give you. Yes, your three meals a day, 7 days a week, are 21 excellent reasons for knowing about Chase and Sanborn coffee. For at any meal, this rich, delicious coffee can liven up your appetite, make good food taste better, and help the meal to revive and refresh you. Yes, when you buy Chase and Sanborn coffee, you're treating yourself to extra enjoyment at every meal, for it gives you the rich, satisfying flavor of the world's choice coffees. What's more, you always get Chase and Sanborn dated coffee at the peak of its marvelous flavor. For this superb blend is rushed straight from roasting to your grocer, with the date of delivery clearly marked on every bag. That date, remember, is your guarantee of freshness and full flavor. Besides assuring freshness, dating and rapid delivery enable us to use an economical dated paper bag instead of an expensive container. And the saving on container costs goes into finer, richer, more delicious coffees. So in Chase and Sanborn dated coffee, you get higher quality and finer flavor at a very low price. Try this superb blend, hot or iced. Buy a pound from your grocer tomorrow.
When Bruna Castagna made her debut at the Metropolitan last season, she was hailed as one of the truly great contraltos of our times. And for us, Madame Castagna sings the plaintive song from the opera Mignon. Mignon is searching for the lost land of her youth. Asks of everyone she meets, "Do you know where to find my beautiful country? Connais-tu le pays?"
Rivage vrai, d'où le sort fixe.
Thank you, Bruna Castagna. There's a young man here who is very anxious to meet you. Madame Castagna, this is your ardent admirer, Charlie McCarthy.
Oh, hello. You are so cute.
I don't deserve to be so handsome. Oh, Miss Castagna, I want you to meet my associate, Edgar Bergen.
How do you do? Yeah, Miss Castagna, this has been a real pleasure to hear you sing this evening. I remember very well when I heard you in Milan.
Oh, yes? Were you at La Scala di Milano?
Yes, and that was the important event of my visit in Italy. That and the Colosseum.
Yeah, I remember the Colosseum. We did 4 a day there. Worked like dogs.
Yeah. No, Charlie, that's the Colosseum in London.
Oh, is it there now?
No. The Colosseum in London has always been there.
Oh, I misunderstood you. I thought you said it was in Rome. Oh, well, now, all right. Oh, Miss Castagna, I heard you sing Thursday night in the Hollywood Bowl. It was splendid. It was terrific. Tremendous. It was Colosseum. Oh, well, back to that again.
Oh, thank you. I enjoyed singing under the stars.
Yes.
Such a lovely audience.
Yes, they are nice, aren't they? I sang at the bowl 2 weeks ago.
Did you really? You sang at the Hollywood Bowl?
Oh, yes, me. It was a community sing. I even did a solo.
Oh, a solo in a community sing?
Yes.
Oh, no, it does not sound right.
Yes. Well, as a matter of fact, it wasn't. All the others finished together, but you know how I am. Once I get started, there's no stopping me. I'm so emotional. All right.
Let me hear you sing, Charlie.
No, please.
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
Oh, not here, no.
Oh, yes. I want to hear you sing.
Well, if you coax me,
I'll... Oh, please. Let me hear you sing. Yes.
All right, I will. Oh, I'm just putty in your hands. Dore, I don't say this is perfect, no. Dore mi fa so, lo, no. I think I broke it. I'm at that awkward age, you know, my voice is changing. I don't know.
Well, try this.
All right.
Oh.
Ah, well, now that's all right, too. Yes.
No, Charlie, you were flaked.
Yeah? Well, I wasn't more than a half a note off, was I?
Oh, half a note is enough.
Well, that's what you got. What are you complaining about?
Miss Castagna, frankly, what do you think of Charlie's voice?
Well, Mr. Amici, I have heard lots of singing, but never anything tanto male.
Oh. Yeah, he's really Santo Mali, isn't he?
Yes. All right. Now,
I'll
break
canne.
It
up.
Yes. Did she say my voice was uncanny?
Well, not exactly, Charlie.
Now, come on out with it, Amici. What did she say about my voice now?
Well, if you must know, she said you sing like a dog.
Oh, like a what? Oh, well, maybe she's right, you. Are you going to sing again? You are, aren't you, Miss Castagna? Or may I call you Bruno?
Why, of course. Charlie.
Yes.
Oh. Soon I shall have the pleasure of singing the ditty song from the opera Carmen.
Oh, what luck, Carmen. That's the old plantation song my uncle used to sing down south.
Carmen down south?
Yes, of course. Don't you remember? Eyes, Carmen, eyes, Carmen.
While Madame Castagna tries to recover from Charlie's vocal outburst, Robert Arm Brewster and the Chase and Sanborn Orchestra play a group of melodies by that master of rhythm, Cole Porter. Thank you.
The Chase and Sanborn Hour with Bruno Castagna, Dorothy L'Amour, W.C. Fields, Edgar Bergen, and Charlie McCarthy, Robert Armbruster, and Don Ameche will continue in just a moment.
The streamlined dragon man rushes into view. His nostrils snort smoke. His mouth emits flames. He roars and bellows. He rants and raves. Men, women, and children dash madly in all directions to greet him, for his explosions are as harmless as a toy pop gun. Pop, pop, it's W.C. Fields.
Can't be that good.
Well, how are you feeling, B? Bill?
Did you say Beak or Bill, Don?
No, I said Bill. How are you feeling?
Oh, I'm feeling very colorful today, Don.
Colorful, Bill?
Physically, I'm in the pink. Mentally, I'm in the blue, and financially, I'm in the red.
He means he's nasally in the red.
very good, Charles. Pardon me, I didn't see you there. I thought someone left a mop on the chair.
Say, Bill, what have you got that horn for?
Oh, I forgot to tell you all about that, Don. My uncle's out there, grand old gentleman. Can't hear very well, Don.
Yeah, well, I still don't understand the horn.
I blow the horn every time the folks laugh. Which, pardon me, the teeth again, Don. When and if. It sort of cues them, Don. Just so he won't laugh out of turn.
Oh.
Hello, Uncle.
Hello, Uncle.
Hello, Nevy.
Hello, Nevy. Isn't he cute? He's a highly educated old gentleman, Don. Hello, Effingham.
Say, that's a pretty name, Bill.
Oh, yeah, I haven't heard the half of it, Don. It's Effingham S. Frobisher.
Yeah, well, what's the S for, Bill?
Oh, we really don't know, Don. It might be for Stuart. His friends all call him Stu. I haven't had a chance to use the horn yet. And I said, Uncle, don't laugh yet. I just reached for it. He thought I was reaching for the horn, Don.
Oh, I see.
I'll blow it for you, Uncle, later on.
Say, he's a happy-looking old gentleman with that glint in his eye.
That isn't glint in his eye, Don. It's chewing gum. He meant to put it in his mouth. Put it in your mouth, Uncle. Put it in your mouth.
Well, is he blind, too, Bill?
Every night. not for a week. I'm forgetting all about him. That's all right. Calm down now, Uncle.
Well, say, look, what does he do for a living, Bill?
Why, he mines babies outside a cocktail barn.
Mines babies outside a cocktail bar.
Babies and children, Don. The authorities won't let them take the children in the bars if they're under 21.
Well, how many does he mine at a time, Bill?
Oh, sometimes half a dozen, Don. I often help him out in a busy afternoon.
Well, say, that's kind of you, Bill.
Yes. Uncle brought a couple of the babies over at the house the other night.
A couple of children?
Oh, they're a couple of babies, Don. Yes, they were babies.
Well, what did you do, Bill?
Oh, we held them on our knee. I first got out a bottle for them.
Oh. Well, that was very thoughtful of you, Bill. Did they cry?
Only when we took the bottle away, Don.
He always takes the bottle away from everyone.
No way, you fugitive from a wood pile.
Now, Bill, please, don't talk that way to Charlie. You know it's his birthday today.
Oh, you mean his wooden anniversary?
Remember, Mr. Fields, only God can make a tree.
And only Bergen can make it tall. You take that down.
Yeah.
Charles, you're becoming an old tease. And that.
Okay, Doc.
Excuse me, okay, Bill. Right. Yeah, excuse me. Speaking of nags, Bill, were you down at Bing Crosby's racetrack again?
Yeah. And I'm not going down there again to make a fool out of myself next week.
Why, Bill?
The track closed yesterday.
Yeah, it certainly is.
Certainly is. That isn't the right question, but go ahead anyway.
Look, Bill, did Bing straighten out that honorary steward situation?
Temporarily, Don. You know what happened yesterday?
No, what, Bill?
Bing offered to take my picture with the winning horse.
Oh, well, that was swell.
Just as the camera snapped, the horse turned his back to the lens. I should have known when he switched his tail in my face that he wasn't posing properly.
Well, how did this picture develop, Bill, with the horses back to the camera?
Oh, it was terrible. When they showed the picture, one of the women said, "Look at those two horses. One hasn't a tail." Said he looked like a Manx cat.
Let's forget about horses, Bill.
All right.
Say, I suppose being a sportsman, you know that today the hunting season opens up.
Oh, I know, Don. I'm polishing up my guns and getting ready. I expect to shoot a half a dozen moose this year.
Oh, that's right. You shoot moose every year, don't you, Bill?
Oh, yes, Don. I was drying with powder this morning.
Face powder, Mr. Fields? Face powder?
Yeah, face powder. I think to kill moose with face powder. What a sap.
Well, how can you kill a moose with face powder, Mr. Fields?
I'll explain the whole thing to you, Charles, dear.
I wish you would, yes.
You fill the powder pot with face powder and then throw it at the moose.
Oh.
That knocks him down. Then you beat his brains out with a cream pot.
Oh.
You really want to know the truth, don't you?
Yes.
Then you put a little salt on his tail, and that completes the trick.
Uh-huh.
Where'd that kid come from? Cucamonga?
Well, you know, I always thought you caught him in a trap, Mr. Fields. I catch him in a trap.
Moose in a trap?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
You're not thinking of mouse by any chance, are you?
Yeah, a mouse is bigger, isn't it? A moose is bigger, isn't it?
I think the moose is slightly larger. The tail is about the same size, but the nose is larger.
Oh. Are you a moose, Mr. Fields?
No, Charles. They blackballed me.
Oh.
However, I am a member in very good standing in the Women's Christian Temperance Union.
I know. A moose is a thing that carries a hat rack on its head, isn't it? I know.
Very funny, Charles. And a whisper of under his chin. I've killed with moose with antlers 20 feet from tip to tip, Don.
Antlers 20 feet, Bill?
Yes, sir, 20 feet.
Antlers?
Won't talk.
We got them down at our house, too.
No, Charlie, we haven't any antlers at our house now.
No, he's probably thinking of ants. Yeah. Got ants in his pantry.
Say, Bill, where do you hunt moose?
Oh, up at Lake Passamaquoddy.
Lake what?
Sometimes up at Winnipesaukee, I guess.
What was that?
Bang, bang, down goes the moose.
Yeah, but, Bill, where was that lake?
I'll make it the reservoir in Central Park. Sometimes they shoot them with a bow and arrow when they're out of season, of course.
Well, are they any good out of season, Bill?
Very good with mustard, Don. The moose run around there with antlers 20 feet from tip to tip, as I told you. It's a thickly wooded country, Don. The trees aren't over a foot apart. The moose run through the woods all winter.
How can a moose with 20-foot antlers run through the woods when there are... Trees are only 2 feet apart.
2 feet? I said one, dear boy. Oh. Trees leave in the fall anyway.
Yeah. Oh.
Sorry.
Yeah, suppose you don't shoot a moose, Mr. Fields, then what?
Oh, we hunters always take it very philosophically, Charles.
Oh.
We believe in the old adage. No moose is good moose.
Oh.
Say, Bill, I'd like to join you in a moose hunt sometime.
Oh, you're always welcome at the old cabin, Don. The latch key is out and the moose smells... the moose hangs high.
Hey, Bill, don't you mean the goose hangs high?
Please, don't bring religion into this, Don.
Oh, excuse me. Well, say, I'd love to go with you when you bag a moose, Bill.
Yeah, how do you bag a moose, Mr. Fields?
Same as you bag coffee, Charles. Oh. Indeed, it's bagged. Superb blend of the world's choicest moose.
Bill, wait a minute.
Jason Sanborn is the moose for the money.
The moose for your money.
Pardon my redundancy, Don. I'm breaking myself up. Time out for levity.
All right, Bill.
He's still a moosing.
Oh! Don't laugh at that one, Uncle. Very funny, Charles. Very funny. You look funny spread all out over a checkerboard, wouldn't you?
Bill,
I didn't want to tell you this before, but you should be very kind to Charlie today. He isn't feeling well, you know. He's all broken up.
You mean he's coming apart?
Yeah. No, he needs a doctor, Bill.
My brother could take care of him, Edgar.
Oh?
Is your brother a doctor, Mr. Field?
No, he's a wood turner, my little prickly pear.
No, but seriously, Bill, I'm thinking of sending Charlie to a camp.
He just came from a lumber camp, didn't he? I understand he got a jam up there, log jam. I'm getting too ridiculous for words.
Yes, but Bill, considering your experience with medicine, you know. I'd like to ask you a few questions about Charlie's condition. I'm seriously worried. Do you know, Bill, Charlie hasn't grown an inch in the last 3 years?
Is that so? Not growing, eh? Maybe you're not using the right kind of fertilizer.
Wow.
Say, look, Bill, Charlie does look bad, and he's got a great big bump on his head.
Oh, let me see. That's no bump. Looks more like an egg. The woodpeckers have been nesting in his wig again.
Mr. Fields, I'd like to see your nose scrambled in an egg. You'd make a wonderful tomato omelet.
Sensational, Charles. Go here, I'll bend you into a hoop. Wheel you out. What else is wrong with that fence post, Edgar?
Well,
you know, Charlie's teeth hurt him, and his skin is giving him a lot of trouble lately, Bill. In fact, I think his skin is worse than his teeth.
As I've always contended, his bark is worse than his bite.
Oh. Oh. Mr. Fields, I think I know what's wrong with me. I've got smallpox.
Keep away from me.
Yeah, but look at my hands.
Yeah, Bill, look at his hands.
That isn't smallpox. That's a portion of his arms, hewn out of an old cribbage board. Let's go, Uncle. All right. All right, Uncle. All right,
Uncle. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Uncle Effingham S. Frobisher. Thank you, Edgar and Charlie. And thank you very much, WCP. A little while ago, Bruna Castagna promised Charlie McCarthy a song from the opera Carmen, the role that has won her the highest praise. So for him and for us, she sings Carmen's famous gypsy song.
L'étrangle de six présentés avec un éclat métallique et sur cette étrange musique les vainqueurs lassent le feu. Tambour débarcalé leur droit et les guitares font sonner grincer sous tes mains obstinées même chansons, même livres, même chansons, même Thank you. chanson, on l'a vite fait de la chanson, par d'entre folles enfiévrées, elle se laissait enivrée, emportée par
food this coming week, please bear in mind the facts you hear now from Carlton Cadell.
Every woman has her own favorite way of making coffee, but there's one point everyone agrees on. If you want your coffee to taste rich and delicious, it's important to start with a blend that gives you plenty of full, mellow goodness. When a coffee has flavor like that, it's sure to win more and more friends. So please remember this. In recent years, the blend that has won the largest number of new friends is Chase and Sanborn Coffee. As you know, Chase and Sanborn Dated Coffee is a superb blend of the world's choice coffees, guaranteed fresh and full-flavored by our dating plan and rapid delivery system. Besides assuring freshness, dating and rapid delivery make expensive containers needless. Instead, we pack Chase and Sanborn Dated Coffee in an economical dated paper bag, and the money we save on container costs is used to give you choicer, richer, higher quality coffees, so you get a finer blend at a very low price. Try Chase and Sanborn Dated Coffee, hot or iced. Buy a pound from your grocer tomorrow.
In just 5 days, the newest 20th Century Fox picture, You Can't Have Everything, will be released. And I hope you'll enjoy seeing it as much as I did playing in it. Just to give you a glimpse of what it's all about, I step back into the familiar shoes of George McRae, a Broadway playwright. And Dorothy L'Amour is going to play Judy Poe Wells, the ambitious young authoress.
You Can't Have Everything, with Don Ameche in his picture role of George McRae and Dorothy L'Amour as Judy. The scene is a small Italian restaurant in New York. In one of the booths sits George McRae drinking highballs and celebrating the sale of his latest musical comedy. For some time, he has been watching a girl in the booth opposite him. And now he leans forward to hear her talk with the proprietor.
Mr. Romano, have you a cigarette?
Sure. Here is one, madame.
And a match, please?
Si, si. Anything else?
Yes. Call a policeman.
What's that?
I said, call a policeman. I've eaten 3 platters of spaghetti, and I can't pay the check.
Oh, well, that's too bad. You lose the pocketbook?
No. I didn't have any money when I came in here to eat. So, have me arrested.
Arrest?
Well, isn't that what you usually do?
Oh, no. Please, lady, not me.
Well, can I work off what I owe you? Wash the dishes, scrub the floor?
Wait a minute, Romano. I'll take care of this.
No, please. Thank you just the same, but I got myself into this, and I'll get myself out of it.
Well, what are you going to do, huh? You won't let me pay? Wait a minute. I've got it. Entertainment. That's what we need. Say, I'll bet you can dance, huh?
No, but I can sing.
Oh, great. The little lady sings. Hey, Tony. Here's another tetrazzini.
Well, maybe you sing opera, madame. Aida, La Tosca.
I'm afraid it'll have to be something a little more popular.
Oh, well, here. Take a look at this music. Surely there's something
there,
here.
There, I know that one.
Okay, Tony, number 14.
Okay.
Boy, was this an inspiration. All right, young lady, now sing for your supper.
You can't have everything. Be satisfied with the little you may get. You can't have everything.
Don't envy neighbors and the fortunes that they get. Live and laugh and listen. Don't be greedy. Help the needy and you've got to get lucky. Yes, indeedy. Poor man, rich man, beggar or king. You just can't have everything. So thank your stars above for a song in your heart, a penny in your pocket, and someone in your arms to love. You can't have everything. Be satisfied with the little you may get. You can't have everything. Don't envy neighbors and the fortunes that they get. Live and laugh and listen. Don't be greedy. Help the needy and you've got to get lucky. Got to get lucky. Got to get lucky. Yes, indeedy. Poor man, rich man, beggar or king. You just can't have everything. So thank your stars above for a song in your heart, a penny in your pocket, a penny in your pocket, a penny in your pocket, and someone in your arms to love.
Ah, brava, brava. Cantare divinamente. Now, just for that, I get you some spumoni and some coffee, yeah?
Say, that was marvelous. Hey, have you ever done anything in the theater?
No, but I happen to be a playwright.
Oh, really? Well, what kind of plays do you write?
All kinds. Dramas, tragedies, one-act plays, three-act plays. You see, my great-grandfather was Edgar Allan Poe.
Oh, well, that's something to live up to.
Oh, yes. My name's Judy Poe Wells, and I think it's our sacred obligation to develop the talent that we inherit.
That's tough on me. I had a grandmother who was a fan dancer in the Civil War.
Oh, please be serious. You know, I feel that the public is ripe for mature drama.
Well, I don't know. Have you seen the biggest hit in town? George McCrae's Swingin' Sister?
Oh, the usual George McCrae tripe. My plays are fraught with social significance.
Oh. Have you ever sent them to Sam Gordon, the producer?
Yes, he's rejected them so far. But I sent him one yesterday called North Winds. It deals with the vital problems that confront womanhood in the frozen North. By the way, what do you do?
I? Well, nothing you'd think very much of. I'm George McCrae.
What?
Yes. I write that silly tripe the public likes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's all right. I like it, too. Say, listen, Judy. Look, I got a proposition. I have a new show going into rehearsal next month. How would you like to have a try at the leading part?
Me? Why, I've never been on the stage in my life.
Well, whatever. You've got plenty of talent. You know, I could make you a star.
Make me a star? What for? Actresses are nothing but miserable puppets, dancing on the strings that we authors hold in our hands. I happen to be an authoress, Mr. McCrae, a playwright, and I intend to stay one.
Oh, that's just the spirit my play calls for. Say, listen, Judy, look. If I can get Sam Gordon to really read your play himself and consider putting it on, will you take a shot at the leading role in mine?
Consider putting on my play?
All you have to do is try it. And I'll get to work on Sam right away. Now, no, what do you say, huh?
Well, of course I do want to see North Winds produced. It has such a vital theme, but... All right, Mr. McCrae, I'll try it.
All swell. Sunny days with Judy Poe Wells. Boy, that's going to look great in life.
That this could never be. It's the thought of losing you that makes me so afraid to dream.
Oh, darling, I just want to tell you how much I appreciate all you've done for me.
Why, John, it's nothing I wouldn't have done for anyone else.
Hold it. Now, listen, Judy, you're playing the whole scene too coldly. You're supposed to be falling in love with Bobby.
Oh, I'm sorry, George, but I told you it wouldn't work. I'm not an actress, and I don't want to be one.
Oh, now, look here, Judy. You can't quit now. Sam Gordon has $100,000 in this show. Why,
Why, look, if he loses it, he won't be able to produce North Winds for you. Come on, now, come on. We'll start with the song, and I'll play Bobby's part in the scene that follows it. Okay, orchestra. And don't forget the kiss at the end, Judy.
Look out, I may surprise you.
Here we are, two silhouettes in the blue. Here we are, bidding the stars us adieu. Soon you'll be lost in the glory of dreams. Yet, my lovely one, strange as it seems, I'm afraid to dream, afraid that you may not be there. Afraid to dream, without you it would seem so bare. With open arms I call to you, I want you dear. Just as I reach for you, why do you disappear? Afraid to dream, I'll see you there with someone new. Afraid to find another one caressing you. Although you promised me that this would never be, it's the thought of losing you that makes me so afraid to dream.
Oh, darling. I want to tell you how much I appreciate all you've done for me.
Why, John, it's nothing I wouldn't have done for anyone else.
But wait, there's something else I want to tell you.
What is it, John?
This. Well, say, that was a kind of a kiss.
Well, don't say I didn't warn you.
Look, Judy, I want to talk to you. Let's go to your dressing room. Hmm?
Not now. I've got to hurry and change for the next scene.
Oh, well, wait a minute, Judy. Wait.
You wait there. I won't be long. Oh. Were you waiting to see me?
Yeah. I'm Lulu Riley. Close the door, will you?
But I don't understand. I just come back from Havana, and I thought I'd better drop around and tell you that Mr. George McCrae happens to be mine. So kindly keep your hands off him.
I don't believe you.
No? Well, take a look at these cables he sent me while I was away.
Now, George, can't wait to see you. Somebody loving you passionately.
So keep your hands off him, or I'll cut your little heart out and stuff it like an olive.
Oh. Hello, Judy. Want to go out and get something to eat before we go on?
No. No, I don't want anything.
What, is something wrong?
No. Just some mascara in my eye.
Oh, don't rub it. Don't. Here, try this wet towel. Say, those look like real tears. That's not mascara.
I suppose I should be sophisticated like my plays and take you for what you really are, just a charming fake. But somehow I can't.
Well, what's all this about?
I've just been talking to Lulu Riley.
Oh, I see. Judy, I've known Lulu a long while. She's really a swell girl. But now I know you. You're what I've been looking for all of my life. If you'll have me.
Oh, George. Why didn't you say so before?
Professional pride, I guess.
I'm a playwright, too, you know. I was trying to think of a new way to say it.
No, it's new to me. Tell me again.
I'm completely, utterly, ridiculously mad about you. Oh, I'm so happy. Here, kiss me quick, will you?
Well, George.
Oh, hello, Lulu.
I've been looking all over for you. Sam Gordon tells me that you didn't even have the decency to write those cablegrams yourself. He wrote them for you.
Now, Lulu,
Say, what do you take me for? You know you just can't make entrances and exits in my life.
Now, listen, Lulu. I'm going to be frank with you. I think we ought to call it quits.
Please, George, let's not.
Now, wait, Judy. I'd better settle this right now. Lulu, I happen to be in love with Judy.
Well, that's going to be just too bad.
Well, I'm sorry you feel that way, but after all, this is a free country.
Yes, and there's still a few laws.
Meaning what?
Marriage laws. You married me.
George.
What?
Yes. That night in New Haven, the night you were too drunk to remember. You even spilled ink all over yourself at the license bureau.
So that's how I got that ink on that gray suit.
You married her?
Here's the marriage license.
Let me see it.
Oh, no, you don't get your hands on it, my darling husband.
Listen, Judy, I swear I didn't know.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Well, she had to know sometime.
George, I can't go on with the show. I'm sorry, but I can't. I just can't.
Judy! Judy! Judy, come back here. Come back, Judy!
It's the thought of losing you that makes me so afraid to
Just a minute, Mr. Amici. I'd like to ask you a question.
Why? What's on your mind, Charlie?
How could you marry a girl like Lulu with Judy hanging around, especially when it's Dorothy Lamora plays the part?
Oh, but Charlie, this was just a picture. And Dorothy was only playing the character of Judy in this preview.
Oh. Well, how did the whole thing come out, Mr. Amici?
Well, Charlie, you'll have to see the picture to find out how it really ends.
Oh, I will. Uh-huh. Well, I've got a great finish, Mr. Amici. Yeah? You shoot Lulu and marry Judy.
Say, that's a great idea, Charlie. I'll tell Daryl Zanuck about that.
Would you? And remember, when you tell him it's my idea, see?
Yeah?
I expect to get paid for it, you know.
Well, how much are you asking?
Oh, about, I'm asking 10,000.
Whoa!
Well, I'll settle for a sawbuck.
How
about a pass to the show?
Well, I'll see if it can be fixed up for you, Charlie. Yeah. But just to give you an idea of how this picture does end, Dorothy and I are going to sing another of the songs. We seem to be gazing blankly at the moon above. Please pardon us, we're in love. We seem to do things in public we've been dreaming of. Please pardon us, we're in love. We seem sort of kind of lackadaisical. It's cause we feel love, honor, and obeisical. If we're holding hands and stop to kiss on a busy thoroughfare, and if the way we stare seems to get in your head, excuse me, please, partner, we're in love.
If we seem sort of, kind of, like a daisy call, it's cause we feel of honor and obeisical.
If we're holding hands and stop to kiss on a busy thoroughfare,
and if the way we stare seems to get in your head,
you will be honor.
since there always must be an over, I'm saying it now for our guest, Bruna Castagna, and for all of our old friends. Next week, another good friend joins our regular company, and we're all getting ready a big welcome for Nelson Eddy.
Nelson Eddy, what a man, what a voice, oh boy.
Something to look forward to, eh, Charlie?
You said it, Don. Will we initiate him, Oh boy, bring him on.
That's just what we're doing, Charlie, next week, and we're mighty happy about it. Next week, too, we will have Wendy Berry as our dramatic guest. And may I say to those of you who have listened to this broadcast that this hour with you is made possible by your purchase of Chase and Sanborn dated coffee. Such purchases are the finest way of telling us that you enjoy our show. We'll be looking forward to meeting you again, so until next Sunday at the same time, this is Don Amici saying au revoir.
On this program where the title song and I Get a Kick Out of You from Anything Goes, I've Got You Under My Skin from Born to Dance, and You've Got Everything from 50 Million Frenchmen. Listen in again next week when Nelson Eddy joins W.C. Fields, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Dorothy L'Amour and Don Amici on the Chase and Sanborn Hour.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.